Okay. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was thinking, God uses our weaknesses to make for His strong purposes. And as I paid attention to the second hymn we sang, I thought about our sermon this morning and about all that we're commanded to do. And it was kind of a summary of all these things we're commanded to do. How is it possible? And our brother Don said it's impossible for us. But with God, all things are possible. And I thought of this hymn. I mean, I thought of all of that when I was reading this hymn, and it's only possible through humility and prayer and fasting and drawing close to God. But this hymn just brought out to me that the detail of drawing close to God. It says, to God your every want in instant prayer display. Pray fervently and never faint. Pray humbly, meekly pray. In fellowship alone, to God in faith draw near. Approach His courts. Address His throne with all the power of prayer. We heard that this morning as well, that the Father gave unto Christ all power. And He gives it unto us. If we ask for something, He has the power to do it if it's good, if it's right. Confess your sins to God and contrite bow the knee. Spread forth your hands and pray aloud that Zion may be free, the people Israel, that they may be free of their long rejection of Christ. Your guides and brethren bear forever on your mind. Extend the arms of mighty prayer and love for humankind. Pray for others. My sermon this evening is regarding keeping those commandments. Always keeping the commandments of God. We read this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always. If we love Him, if we love God and the Son of God who came and lowered Himself and took upon Him flesh and blood and became Son of Man, and showed us an example against all adversity. If we love Him, and He was spat upon and beaten and nailed to a cross and hung there, thinking of you and of me, if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. John chapter 14, verse 21, He that hath my commandments, this is Christ speaking, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. I'm going to turn to some of those commandments in 3rd book of Nephi, chapter 5. And here Christ was comparing His commandments to those of old. And this is in 3rd book of Nephi, chapter 5, verse 67. You can find it on page 637. beginning in verse 67, "Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore come unto me, and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have given unto you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it hath been said of old by them of old, and it is also written before you, that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment, of the judgment of God." That's what was said of old. But this is what it was said of Christ. "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother..." Kids, young people, adults, older brothers and sisters, "whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment," or the judgment of God. "And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca," and Raca can be interpreted as fool or as idiot. And how often is that word said about another person, or even about ourselves? We are all the creation of God, and we don't even have to have the right to say that about ourselves. "And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Remember, our brother Don this morning was saying, the commandments of Christ, when we fulfill them, we're different. They're not something natural. People notice it. So if someone is offending us, and we don't respond likewise, but we pray for them, do good to them, it's a witness. It's a testimony of Christ. Verse 71, "Therefore, if ye shall come unto me and shall desire to come unto me, and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you." What a joy that is when we do what's difficult, when we do what's hard, and we go when there's an offense. When we have offended someone and we go and we ask for forgiveness, or even if it's the other way around, somebody's offended us and we go in love and say, "This has offended me. I don't want to argue about it, but this is something that I need to talk to you about." When there is that reconciliation, there's a joy knowing we've been obedient to God, and that's out of the way. There's freedom from it. "Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time he shall get thee and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost senine. And while ye are in prison, can ye pay even one senine? Verily, verily, I say unto you, nay." Talking about that importance of reconciliation. "Behold, it is written by them of old that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart." And there the key word is heart. Because listen to this next verse. "Behold, I give unto you a commandment that ye suffer none of these things to enter into your heart." Anger, lust, none of these things. "For it is better that ye should deny yourselves of these things wherein ye will take up your cross than that ye should be cast into hell. So he's teaching us to be able to keep the Ten Commandments that Moses gave. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't even let them enter into your heart. Don't allow those thoughts, when those darts, those temptations come from the devil. Hold that shield of faith up. Deny, resist temptation. Don't even let it enter into your heart. You know what it'll lead to. It'll lead to sin. Other promises of God. Tonight I want to focus actually on the Lord's promise unto Nephi fulfilled. In First Book of Nephi, chapter 1, verse 54, God promised to Nephi, "Inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper and shall be led to a land of promise, a land which I have prepared for you, yea, a land which is choice above all other lands." And that is this land. Nephi obeyed. His brothers didn't. They mocked. They disobeyed. And eventually, once they were on this land, they had to be divided. But before we go there, I want to talk a little bit about why did Nephi and Lehi and Laman and Lemuel and Ishmael, why did they leave Jerusalem? Well, the people Israel had been given the commandments of God. Our brother Donnie talked about their time in the wilderness and that a few were chosen to cross over Jordan and to come into that choice and promised land. And as long as they obeyed the house of Israel, they obeyed the commandments of God, they prospered in the land. As long as the kings set the example, they prospered in the land. But when they disobeyed, when they began to follow other gods, they began to fall. And that fall was prophesied. The captivity of Israel and the destruction of Jerusalem was prophesied by Isaiah, by Jeremiah, by many messengers that were sent to that land. And Lehi was one of them. Lehi was given a vision. And he was given words to say to Jerusalem, just as Jeremiah was. And he prophesied against them that they must repent, or the great city Jerusalem shall be destroyed. And they mocked him. And I assume that they had plans to kill him, as God told Lehi to leave his home, to leave his precious objects of silver and gold. And they left and went out into the wilderness and dwelt in tents. God told Nephi and his brothers to go back up to Jerusalem, to seek the records that were held by Laban, had been handed down from generation to generation, which contained the five books of Moses and the prophets. And he told them that if he was obedient, that they would have those records so that his seed might be obedient as well to the commandments of God, that otherwise they wouldn't be able to. And so Nephi was even commanded to kill Laban, to slay him, I should say. And he was obedient. He had no desire to slay him. But you see, Laban had stolen the gold and the silver. Remember, I told you about the gold and the silver that God told Lehi to leave in his house. First, Nephi went up to Laban and he said that he requested that Laban give him the plates, and Laban sent him out and I don't remember if that time he tried to kill him, but the second time Laman went up with that gold and silver and those precious objects and said, "We will give you our gold and silver if you will give us those plates." And they sought, and Laban sought to kill him. And the third time they went up, and Nephi went up. He was the only one obedient. God told him that he would deliver Laban into his hands. And he went up in faith, and he found Laban drunk in the streets. God had delivered him into his hands. You see, Laban had sought their lives, had stolen the gold and silver. And according to the law of Moses, that was all worthy of death. So God doesn't just command things here and there. He has a law, and things are done according to his law. And he delivered Laban into Nephi's hands. And Nephi slew him. And he went and found Ishmael, Laban's servant, and he had put on Laban's clothing so that his servant didn't recognize him but thought he was his master, and began to talk with him. And Nephi, in Laban's clothing, sent him to get the plates. And he did, and he said, "Bring him with you." And he followed him, and he brought the plates, and they went outside the city walls. And when Nephi's brothers saw him, they were afraid, and they began to run, and Nephi told them to stop. And they knew it was him, and Ishmael began to fear. And so they stopped him and told him they would kill him if he tried to flee, but if he would be obedient, he would be free and escape this destruction that was going to take place in Jerusalem. And he believed them, and we see later on that he was obedient, like unto Nephi. But I wanted to tell that story because that wasn't easy. Those things weren't easy. Nephi and his brothers did things that they could have lost their lives for, but they were obedient unto God's commands. And because they were obedient, you and I now have this book. God requires of us the same obedience. And we don't know his purposes, but he has a plan and a purpose for our obedience. I'm going to read from 1 Nephi chapter 5, verses 78 through 83. And God said to Nephi, "And I will prepare the way before you, if it so be that ye shall keep my commandments. Wherefore, inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall be led towards the promised land, and ye shall know that it is by me that ye are led." And that's true. When we keep his commandments, we draw close to him and him to us, and we know we're being led by him. And there's that joy there and that power that we could prophesy if God desired for us to. When we draw close to Him, there is nothing stopping us from serving Him. Yea, and the Lord said also, that after ye have arrived to the promised land, you shall know that I, the Lord, am God, and that I, the Lord, did deliver you from destruction. Yea, and that I did bring you out of the land of Jerusalem. Wherefore I, Nephi, did strive to keep the commandments of the Lord, and I did exhort my brethren to faithfulness and diligence. And if we're going to be obedient, we have to be faithful. We have to believe in God's word. We have to know it. We have to know what it says. We have to believe it. And we need to be diligent in studying it. Now, we know that our Nephi's brothers were not obedient. And because of their disobedience, their tribes or their people were divided, Nephi and his brothers that were obedient, and Laman and Lemuel and the brothers that were disobedient. Second book of Nephi, chapter 1, verses 1 through 24. And now it came to pass that I, Nephi, had made an end of teaching my brethren. Our father Lehi also spake many things unto them, how great the Lord had done for them in bringing them out of the land of Jerusalem. And he spake unto them concerning their rebellions upon the waters, and the mercies of God in sparing their lives, that they were not swallowed up in the sea. Because really, that was the punishment for their sin. And many times when people sin, there is destruction. There is immediate punishment. But God was merciful unto them, and He has been merciful unto us in our disobedience, which is all the more reason for us to repent. And he spake unto them concerning their rebellions upon the waters and the mercies of God in sparing their lives, that they were not swallowed up in the sea. And he also spake unto them concerning the land of promise, which they had obtained, how merciful the Lord had been in warning us that we should flee out of the land of Jerusalem. For behold, saith he, I have seen a vision in the which I know that Jerusalem is destroyed. And had we remained in Jerusalem, we should also have perished. But said he, notwithstanding our afflictions, we have obtained a land of promise, a land which is choice above all other lands. And you and I have obtained that land too. A land which the Lord God hath covenanted with me should be a land for the inheritance of my seed. Yea, the Lord hath covenanted this land unto me and to my children forever. And also all they which should be led out of other countries by the hand of the Lord. Who is that? That's our forefathers. They were led out of other countries. And so this is a land of inheritance to our forefathers and to us. Verse 10, wherefore I, Lehi, prophesy according to the workings of the Spirit which is in me, that there shall be none come into this land, save they should be brought by the hand of the Lord. Wherefore this land is consecrated unto him whom he shall bring. And if it so be that they shall serve him according to the commandments which he hath given, it shall be a land of liberty unto them. What a promise. You see, you look back through history and through the history of the Lamanites, they were always under a king. They were always under, except when they were obedient, they were always They were always under just evil, kind of a slavery, I guess I want to say. They weren't in liberty. But the people of Nephi, when they were in obedience, they always had liberty, had joy, had the word of God. You and I still have liberty in this land. And that liberty we can credit to our forefathers who bowed their knees before the Lord, asked Him for their guidance, and they were obedient to His word. The liberty we have today is not because of the righteousness of today, but of our forefathers. God has been merciful to this land, to our country, to our people. We don't know how much longer His mercy will last. Verse 11, wherefore this land is consecrated unto Him whom He shall bring, and if it so be that they shall serve Him according to the commandments which He hath given, it shall be a land of liberty unto them. Wherefore they shall never be brought down into captivity. If so, it shall be because of iniquity. So we know iniquity reigns in our land right now. And we know what the promise is, captivity. Unless there is a great repentance in our land, the promise is captivity. For if iniquity shall abound, cursed shall be the land for their sakes, but unto the righteous it shall be blessed forever. So if we can be righteous, if we can be righteous, if we can be obedient, and we can, if we will be righteous, there are major promises to us. We will be blessed in this land, even if the land is in captivity. We will be blessed. And behold, it is wisdom that this land should be kept as yet from the knowledge of other nations. And it was. For behold, many nations would overrun the land. Are we seeing that now? That there would be no place for an inheritance. Wherefore, I, Lehi, have obtained a promise that inasmuch as they which the Lord God shall bring out of the land of Jerusalem. Excuse me, let me read that again. Wherefore, I, Lehi, have obtained a promise that inasmuch as they which the Lord shall God shall bring out of the land of Jerusalem shall keep His commandments, they shall prosper upon the face of this land. And they shall be kept from other nations, that they may possess this land unto themselves. And if it so be that they shall possess keep His commandments, they shall be blessed upon the face of this land, and there shall be none to molest them, nor to take away the land of their inheritance, and they shall dwell safely forever. But behold, when the time cometh that they shall dwindle in unbelief. And this is what I want to warn us against. Dwindling in unbelief. If we read, there's places in Mosiah chapter 7 that warn us against that. That as long as there's belief, as we believe in the Son of God and ask Him for those things which are good, He will give them. But if we dwindle in unbelief, those miracles cease. It's also said in Mormon chapter 4, warns of that same thing. If miracles have ceased, it's because there's no belief. But behold, when the time cometh that they shall dwindle in unbelief, after that they have received so great blessings from the hand of the Lord, having a knowledge of the creation of the earth and of all men, knowing the great and marvelous works of the Lord from the creation of the world, having power given them to do all things by faith, having all the commandments from the beginning, and having been brought by his infinite goodness into this precious land of promise, behold, I say, if the day shall come that they will reject the Holy One of Israel, the true Messiah, their Redeemer and their God, behold, the judgments of him that is just shall rest upon them. And that promise is given directly to us Gentiles in the 7th chapter and the 9th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi. That if we have been given so great things, this land, this word of God, his commandments, his mercy and forgiveness, if we should reject them, we shall be swept off. Verse 24. Yea, he will bring other nations unto them, and he will give unto them power, and he will take away from them the lands of their possession. And he will take away from them the lands of their possessions, and he will cause them to be scattered and smitten. And they were scattered and smitten. Prophecy fulfilled, and this is when they were began to fall into destruction. And as we read this, I want you to consider our time and consider your own testimony in our time. Prophecy fulfilled. Disobedience and destruction of the Nephites. Fourth book of Nephi, chapter 1, verses 39 through 43. And now it came to pass in this year, yea, in the 231st year, there was a great division among the people. And so some 200 years after Christ shewed himself unto them, you'll see that there began to be this great division. When our country was founded, over 200 years ago, about the same time, they were humble people. They sought the Lord. They bowed the knee before him, and God gave us our laws, guided us in forming a nation. Most people were strong believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have seen great divisions across our land. We've seen great wickedness. But let's read. And now it came to pass in this year, yea, in the 231st year, there was a great division among the people. And it came to pass that in this year there arose a people which were called the Nephites, and they were true believers in Christ. And among them were they which were called the Lamanites, Jacobites, and Josephites, and Zoramites. Therefore, the true believers in Christ and the true worshipers of Christ, among whom were the three disciples of Jesus which should tarry. That's referring to the three of the 12 that asked to not see death. And so they continued to tarry all these years. And they were with them, the true believers in Christ. And it says, they were called Nephites and Jacobites and Zoramites and Josephites. And it came to pass that they which rejected the gospel were called the Lamanites and Lemuelites and Ishmaelites, and they did not dwindle in unbelief, but they did willfully rebel against the gospel of Christ. And they did teach their children that they should not believe, even as their fathers from the beginning did dwindle. And it was because of the wickedness and abominations of their fathers, even as it was in the beginning. And they were taught to hate the children of God, even as the Lamanites were taught to hate the children of Nephi from the beginning. And it came to pass that 244 years had passed away, and thus were the affairs of the people. And the more wicked part of the people did wax strong, and became exceeding more numerous than were the people of God. And they did still continue to build up churches unto themselves. And we see that in this land now. I have audited many different churches, many of the larger churches of our city. And many of their leaders are held up as wonderful, and they're paid over $150,000 a year, and generally, and their churches are in debt, major debt, and it's sad to me because I get to know some of the people in the church. And they, I don't want to go on about it, but I see a similarity of this building up churches unto themselves and adorn them with all manner of precious things. You should see some of the churches I audit in there. Thousands and thousands of dollars of stage equipment and lights to make the person look perfect. And the halls, the two-story halls, and the coffee houses, and everything to make people feel good. Yet it's nothing to make you feel joy. Obedience to God makes us feel joy. Verse 49, And thus did 250 years pass away, and also 260 years. And it came to pass that the wicked part of the people began again to build up the secret oaths and combinations of Gideanton. And also the people which were called, and I do not doubt, I don't seek and study them out, but I'm certain there are many secret combinations going on in the leadership of our governments, of the world governments, because of the filth and the evil that occurs from promoting abortion and homosexuality and the abominations that are a stench in the nostrils of God. He's been merciful to us. But his destruction soon cometh. And it came to pass that the wicked part of the people began again to build up secret oaths and combinations of Gideanton. And also the people which were called the people of Nephi began to be proud in their hearts because of their exceeding riches. You know, that's such a temptation to us, to have nice houses and vehicles and clothes, and it's worthless. Serving God is everything. That's what brings joy, doing what's right. And they became vain like unto their brethren, the Lamanites. And from this time, the disciples began to sorrow for the sins of the world. And it came to pass that when they 300 years had passed away, both the people of Nephi and the Lamanites had become exceeding wicked, one like unto another. See, God's continuing to be merciful, but one day there's destruction. And it came to pass that when 300 years had passed away, Verse 54, and it came to pass that the robbers of Gideon and did spread over all the face of the land, and there were none that were righteous, save it were the disciples of Jesus. And gold and silver did they lay up in store in abundance. Have you heard that today? Buy gold, buy silver. There's only one thing that's going to save us, and that's God Himself when destruction comes. And gold and silver did they lay up and store in abundance, and did traffic in all manner of trafficking, of traffic. Have you heard of that today? Traffic of humans, traffic of slaves, traffic of drugs, traffic of arms. And it came to pass that after 305 years had passed away, and the people did still remain in wickedness, Amos died, and his brother Amram did keep the record in his stead. And it came to pass that when 320 years had passed, Amram, being constrained by the Holy Ghost, did hide up the records which were sacred, and even all the sacred records which had been handed down from generation to generation, which were sacred, even until 320th year from the coming of Christ. And he did hide them up unto the Lord, that they might come again unto the remnant of the house of Jacob, according to the prophecies and the promises of the Lord. And thus it is the end of the record of Amram. And of course, we have that record, and for a purpose, to bring it to the Jew, to those of the remnant of the house of Joseph and the other houses of Israel, and to the Gentile. Wickedness continues among the Nephites in the days of Mormon. But the wickedness did prevail, and this is in Mormon chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. But wickedness did prevail upon the face of the whole land, insomuch that the Lord did take away his beloved disciples, and the work of miracles and healing did cease because of the iniquity of the people. They did what they wanted to do rather than what God commanded to do. And there were no gifts from the Lord, and the Holy Ghost did not come upon any because of their wickedness and unbelief. And I, being 15 years of age and being somewhat of a sober mind, therefore I was visited of the Lord and tasted and knew of the goodness of Jesus. And I did endeavor to preach unto this people, but my mouth was shut, and I was forbidden that I should preach unto them. For behold, they had willfully rebelled against their God, and the beloved disciples were taken away out of the land because of their iniquity. But I did remain among them. But I was forbidden that I should preach unto them because of the hardness of their hearts. And because of the hardness of their hearts, the land was cursed for their sake. And these Gideon and robbers, which were among the Lamanites, did infest the land, insomuch that the inhabitants thereof began to hide up their treasures in the earth, and they became slippery because of the Lord had cursed the land, that they could not hold them nor retain them again. And it came to pass that there were sorceries and witchcrafts and magics. And do we see this today? And the power of the evil one was wrought upon all the face of the land, even unto the fulfilling of all the words of Abinadi, and also Samuel the Lamanite. And it came to pass that in that same year there began to be a war again between the Nephites and the Lamanites. And And I'm fast-forwarding here through many wars. And in the 362nd year, they did come down again to battle. And we did beat them again and did slay a great number of them. And their dead were cast into the sea. And now because of this great thing which my people, the Nephites, had done, they began to boast in their own strength. Have we as a nation boasted because we've won wars? Or have we remained humble and recognized that it was God? And began to swear before the heavens that they would avenge themselves of the blood of their brethren which had been slain by their enemies. And they did swear by the heavens and also by the throne of God that they would go up to battle against their enemies and would cut them off from the face of the land. And it came to pass that I, Mormon, did utterly refuse from this time forth to be a commander and a leader of this people because of their wickedness and abomination. Behold, I had led them, notwithstanding their wickedness, I had led them many times to battle, and I had loved them according to the love of God which was in me with all my heart. And my soul had been poured out in prayer unto my God all the day long for them. Nevertheless, it was without faith, because of their hardness of their hearts. And thrice have I delivered them out of the hands of their enemies, and they had repented not for their sins. And when they had sworn by all that had been forbidden them by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they would go up unto the enemy to battle and avenge themselves of the blood of their brethren, behold, the voice of the Lord came unto me, saying, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. And because this people repented not after I had delivered them, behold, they shall be cut off from among the face of the earth. And it came to pass that I utterly refused to go up against mine enemies. And I did even as the Lord commanded me. And I did stand as an idle witness to manifest unto the world these things which I saw and heard, according to the manifestations of the Spirit which had testified of these things to come. Therefore I write unto you, Gentiles, and also unto you, house of Israel, when the work shall commence, that ye shall be about to prepare to return to the land of your inheritance. And if you want to read about that, talks about it in the 9th and 10th chapters of the 3rd book of Nephi. Talks about it in the book of Isaiah. Yea, behold, I write unto all the ends of the earth, yea, unto you, 12 tribes of Israel, which shall be judged according to your works by the 12 whom Jesus chose to be his disciples in the land of Jerusalem. And I write also unto the remnant of this people, which shall also be judged by the 12 whom Jesus chose in this land. And they shall be judged by the other 12 whom Jesus chose in the land of Jerusalem. I'm going to read that again. And I write also unto the remnant of this people, which shall be judged by the 12 whom Jesus chose in this land. And they, meaning the house of Israel, shall be judged by the other 12 whom Jesus chose in the land of Jerusalem. So he's specifying between the house of Joseph here in this land. They will be judged by the 12 chosen in this land. And the rest of the house of Israel will be judged by the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And these things do the Spirit manifest unto me. Therefore I write unto you. And for this cause I write unto you, that ye may know that ye must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yea, every soul which belongs to the whole human family of Adam. And ye must stand to be judged of your works, whether they be good or evil. And also that ye may believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, which ye shall have among you, and also that the Jews, the covenant people of the Lord, shall have other witness besides that which they saw and heard, that Jesus whom they slew was the very Christ and the very God. And I would that I could persuade all ye ends of the earth to repent and prepare to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We must be obedient to his commandments always. Thank you.